Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as I make 1 hour feel like all of eternity rolled up in one little ball. Or maybe I make it seem like a series of moments, like a line of raisins, at the end of which is a raisinless loaf of bread. Oh, I'm so glad that you joined me, friends. Sit back, relax, and sip a little quiet.
You got your Robert business all messed up in your...
What?
Sorry you had to see that, Bert. That's gross, right?
It's okay, Mr. Boss. You're only human.
Whatever. Speed up. I don't want to be late for the big event.
I'm driving as fast as I can, boss.
It sure is great that you're driving the bus for us, Meemaw. Since none of us have our license, I don't know how our team would have gotten to the big game.
Oh, it's no trouble, boys. I totally support the State Hoppers.
Thanks, Meemaw. It's a real dream to be on an exhibition team like this. I'm still a little uncomfortable with how vulnerable I feel. But at the same time, it's so liberating.
Put your clothes back on, Don. It's not that kind of exhibition. It's to demonstrate our basketball skills.
Which are none. So I'm baffled why we're doing this.
Well, because we can. We inherited the team from Uncle Gelding, who was an original State Hopper. And now it's our duty, no, our duty, to continue in the tradition of exhibition trick shot basketball.
Well, I guess anything can be faked.
That's pretty cynical.
It is, because no one really cares. Ever come out of a movie and think, well, I guess that was okay. Well, it wasn't. It's just that at some level, you don't really care.
Hey, guys, listen to this. Norman Kraft Presbyterian and his mother, Elizabeth Kraft, stand to lose their famous Knotaberry farm.
Oh, I love Knotaberries.
They're not a berry.
I know what they are.
I'm just saying, that's the logo or whatever.
Quiet. The farm is in debt, and the bank is calling in the loan and repossessing the farm, including the famous dancing purple horse Hatchetberry.
Holy cow, that's awful.
There must be something we can do.
Well, one of the things we can do is go see Norman and his mom and see what's going on.
His dad, Rogers Presbyterian, was an awesome guy. He'd be crushed to know this was going on.
Well, he won't have to know if I can help it. Meemaw, head to Knotaberry Farm.
Gee, Mr. Boss, if we only had more time, we'd be able to raise the money to cover the loan payment.
If wishes and crows were fishes and moes, oh, what a seafood stooge we'd have. But you don't! So as of tomorrow, at noon this time, this farm will be mine, and along with it the purple wonder horse Hatchetberry.
No, never!
No, never! Oh, I'm so scared. You're right about one thing, though. No, never will you stop me from ruining your life the way your late father ruined my day one time.
Please, Mr. Boss, show some mercy. That was a long time ago, and Roger never meant any harm.
He never meant any harm, did he? Then why did I find the Knotaberry jam I bought mildly disappointing?
I don't know.
You don't know! But I was robbed of pleasure momentarily, and I will not stand for being made a fool of.
Mr. Boss, your fly is open, and you might want to put that...
Oh, whoopsie whoops.
We beg you, Mr. Boss, please give us more time to raise the money.
You have 24 hours, and I'd use the time to find a place to live and a way to cope with the grief of losing your wonder horse.
What are we gonna do, Mom?
I don't know, Norman.
Well, whose bus is this? Oh, look, Mom, it's the State Hoppers.
Hey, friends, we came to lend a hand.
Yeah, it's the old Knotaberry Farm, just like I remember it.
Hi, folks. We came right away when we heard. What's going on? Are you sure you read that line right, Hardy? Is it, we came right away when we heard, period, what's going on? Or, we came right away when we heard what's going on?
Either way. What's up, Kraft Presbyterians?
It's Mr. Boss at the bank. He hates us because he was jealous of Dad.
It was always his dream to have his own fruit farm, but he couldn't make a go of it. He lent the money to Rogers as a way of having a hand in the business, but he was so jealous he wanted the farm to himself.
When Dad died, he saw an opportunity and pounced.
And now we're in a pickle.
Well, James was in a giant peach, but then he left his wife when she had a stroke.
Butchie.
How much money do y'all need? $10,000.
No problem, I'll write a check.
Butchie, no way!
Jesus, I'm being sarcastic, people!
There's no way we'll get it. Well, there almost was.
What's that?
Well, I was going to ride Hatchetberry in the horse dancing contest in rodeo, but I broke my foot plowing the field, so no, I can't. The prize money would have covered the loan payment.
Well, that's too bad.
Hey, I got an idea. What if we entered the rodeo?
We as in the State Hoppers?
Sure. There's more than one thing we can't do well.
So you think we have a chance?
Well, I know this. If we do nothing, then Norman and his mom, whose name I forgot, lose the farm. What do you say?
Elizabeth.
Well, if that means you're in, then Elizabeth for me too.
Elizabeth, we can do this.
Elizabeth. So who's going to ride this horse?
Well, one of us is jockey size.
Oh, no.
It's for the Kraft Presbyterians, Butch.
I'm just sure we'll win the prize money and save the farm. Won't we, Hatchetberry?
I heard your whole plan with my hidden camera.
Isn't that a hidden microphone, Mr. Boss?
It is. Well, I couldn't get just the mic, so I got the whole camera and the mic, but I'm using it for just the sound. Same price, works out. Anyway, those meddling State Hoppers try to win that rodeo tomorrow, and they're in for a big surprise.
You'll wreck it for him, right, Mr. Boss?
Yes, I'll wreck him. I will, and they'll never know it was me who wrecked him. What?
Nothing.
Hey, this is pretty good. I've never been to a rodeo before. I didn't know they had so much fried food and other smells like poop and leather and Axe body spray.
It sure is an interesting smellscape.
Wait here. I'll go enter us in the horse dancing contest, and you guys stay with Hatchetberry.
Gotcha.
Are you nervous, Butchie?
Nervous? I've never done anything like this before. How could I be nervous?
There they are, the fools. Bert, when the other one looks away, grab the tiny one and replace it with the look-a-lot robot.
Right, Mr. Boss.
Hey, look over there, Butch. I think they have funnel cakes.
Quick, grab him.
Oh, funnel cakes. I love funnum.
I love funnum, too. Maybe we could grab some funnel cakes. What do you say, Butch?
That would be yabba fine.
Okay, but one of us has to stay with the horse. I'll go grab them in case they call you to perform.
Yabba, okay.
Okay. You seem... Okay, I'll be right back.
Go already.
Hey, Butchie, I entered us and you're on next. You think you can do this? I mean, most of it's just the horse. So as long as you don't keep the horse from doing his thing, we'll be fine.
Keep the horse from doing his thing?
No. Very funny, Butch.
The next contestant is Butchie Spinoza, riding Hatchetberry.
You're on, Butch. Okay, up the daisy. Here goes nothing. Go, Butch.
Here is the renowned purple dancing horse, Hatchetberry, and he will be dancing to Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity.
Wow, look at him go. How does he do that slide thing? Is the floor moving?
Man, Butchie's good.
All right, Bert. The robot Butchie is on the horse. Now press the chaos button.
Right, boss.
Hey, what's Butchie doing?
He's standing up on the horse and doing some sort of dance.
Now he's lighting his hat on fire and throwing candy. Is that part of it, Hardy?
No, he's lost his mind.
This entry is very unconventional. The rider seems to be acting as if he's a robot that's been programmed to wreck the contest.
Look, now he's licking the horse's ear.
Hey, Hey, who's the wise guy who tied me up?
Butchie, but you're up. Then who's on the...
I bet it's a robot.
Butchie, where are you going?
That jerk out is on my horse. I'm gonna go let him know what's up.
Butch, you can't go out in the ring. Be careful.
There seems to be another rider in the ring. Another identical rider, and he's approaching the horse.
Yo, horse, stop. Yo, messhead, get the crap off my stinking horse.
He's grabbing the rider off the horse, and he seems to be ripping his limbs off. Wait, that's no rider. It's a robot. And now the real Butchie is climbing on the horse. Wow, look at him go.
Go, Butchie, go.
This is the best horse dancing we've ever seen.
What's happening?
My plan. The farm.
I think they got us, Mr. Boss.
I will not lose. Shoot them all dead.
Come on now.
That's not very subtle. Maybe let's just admit defeat and slink away.
Yeah, for now. But I'll get those state hoppers.
Congratulations, Butch. We won first prize.
Now we can give the money to the Kraft Presbyterians and save the farm. How'd you do it, Butch?
Rage. I use rage like others use reason.
Well, I don't recommend that, but it works, I guess.
But what happened? I'm so confused.
Well, the banker must have overheard our plan and made a robot Butchie to thwart it.
That's kind of hard to swallow. You got a chewable version?
Well, obviously it wasn't a great plan.
I bet plan B was to gun us all down.
Oh, Butch, you're so cynical.
Oh, Hardy, you're so naive.
Oh, Butchie and Hardy, you're both so different yet similar.
Well, I'm just glad it all worked out. And now we have an exhibition basketball game to play.
Are you ready to go, boys? I have the bus all fired up.
Let's do it, Meemaw.
Oh, that brings back memories. That is the cartoon version of my old exhibition basketball team, the Harlan State Hoppers. I inherited it from a dead uncle. And it's a team we'd go around to different cities and do basketball exhibitions of trick shots and everything. So we'd go onto the court and dribble and also do things with the basketball. Isn't that funny? But I literally mean that. There's a lot of saliva involved, and I'd slip on it. We were terrible at basketball. All of us are awful. But that was the funny part. You see, people go, oh, my goodness, they've got to be faking it. A lot of times, people will assume if you're really bad at something, they'll say, oh, you got to actually be good to be that bad, like an art or something. Oh, that artist made just one paint smear across the, or is it schmear? I don't know. Across the canvas, he smeared it. But you have to be good just to do that? Well, I don't know. Well, not in this case, you didn't. It actually worked to our advantage that we were awful because it made us what you call authentic. So, oh, they're not faking being stupid. No, isn't that awesome? Then why do it? Why put yourself up to ridicule like that? That seems a little risky. Well, I'm telling you, it's sort of, it's the Lucy paradox. Now, who's the Lucy paradox? Lucia Ball used to all the time on her show, she'd go up to do something serious or something, play. Now, this is where they got also Springtime for Hitler and all. When something is accidentally successful because it succeeds in a way it wasn't intended to. Often that's funny. So, oh, this was meant as serious, but look, now you're an object of ridicule. We find it hilarious. This happens on the internet a lot. Somebody puts something up thinking it's sincere, and they'll succeed because of another reason. Now, a lot of times, it seems sad because you say, well, they're succeeding, but they're being mobbed. They're losing their dignity. So who's really winning? I don't know. We all wish, oh, that guy is a millionaire now. Who is? Oh, the guy who's accidentally got poo all over him or something? You know, but what's the price? The price you've paid. But is that even really you? Oh, are we competing or cooperating? That's what I want to talk about today. Are we? Come on in. First of all, you're in my house, and we're going to cooperate here. That's just my house rules. Because if we compete, I've tried to compete with roommates, and it ends up just like Inspector Clouseau and the awful roommate who would attack him all the time. I've had that in real life, except that we didn't set it up. We weren't cooperating. Those exhibition basketball games, one team, a lot of times people would just call us the stupid losers team. That's what it would say on the scoreboard. And then we'd play a local team like that. And people would say, oh, it looks set up. Are you cooperating or are you actually competing? Like professional wrestling, are they competing or cooperating or both? Oh, it's hard to say sometimes whether people are competing or cooperating. That's why I like to watch cartoons and everything. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Sometimes we are promoted in school just because of biology. And they'll say that. They'll say, you know, there's a word for it. Don't yell it out. When they promote children, social promotion or something like that. See, I think you just stay in the grade till you mastered it. But say, oh, I'm humiliated. I got to move on. You don't got third grade down? It takes 5 years? Bah, 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 bah. Stay there. Come on. While you're moving on to lessons. And I feel that way in my own life. I think, oh my gosh, I'm an adult.
Hi, everybody. Your trusty board op here. Due to a technical error that was in no way or shape or form my fault, we aired an older version of The Hardy White Show. Most of you probably recognized it was a rerun from February 9th. I have the new one right here, and we're going to listen to as much of it as we can. So stay tuned.
Hey, it's Hardy. Hey, everybody. So good to see you. Welcome to the show. We have some great entertainment lined up tonight, so let's get right to it. Question. Oh, hey, it's Don. What's up, Don? I was just going to do the opening monologue.
Well, I'll let you get right back to it. I just have a question about my role in the show tonight.
Well, I don't think you're in the show tonight.
Right. That's my question. Why not?
Well, not everybody is on every show.
I just feel like I'm being underutilized.
All right.
So why do I even have to show up?
Well, you don't, but just because you don't play in every game doesn't mean you're not part of the team. We're just got no good roles for you tonight.
Question.
Okay.
Why?
What do you mean?
I mean, why aren't you writing me any roles? I really could contribute a lot. Did you know I do impressions?
Really?
Yes.
Well, maybe you could do one for us.
All right, I do a good Lou.
Hey, Hardy, what's up?
Oh, that is good.
Thanks.
But, how could we use that since we have a Lou?
Well, what if you had a skit in which Lou meets himself or something?
But see, we're doing mainly audio, so Lou could do both parts.
Aw, come on.
Look, if you really want to be on the show, I'll write you into the first skit.
Would you?
No problem. All right, so you go backstage and get ready, and I'll introduce the first skit.
Great, you won't be sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we're putting together entertainment for you, we go to great lengths to recruit the best talent. So here is Lou auditioning an actress for a role in our production of Taming of the Shrew.
I'm coming.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Irene. I thought you were sending over that actress to audition for the part. She's on her way? Oh, good. I was worried she wasn't on her way. But you say yes, the actress auditioning for the part in Taming of the Shrew is on her way.
Well, I look forward to answering the door and having her come in and audition for the role.
All right. Thanks, Irene. What's that? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay, Shemp Jive to you too. Man, everyone's into that new religion. Hey, that must be her. Hello?
Hello. Are you Lou?
Yeah, I'm Lou. Who are you?
I'm Butcher Dean. I'm here to audition for the part.
All right, come on in.
And I'm also here.
Oh, hey, Don. Come on in.
Thank you.
So, Butcher Dean, tell me about your experience.
Well, I'm a lady, as you can see.
All right.
And I'm an actress, and I want to be in your movie or play or whatever it is.
All right, well, do you have any prior acting experience?
I'm a lady.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So what roles have you played?
Oh, man, this is stupid. I feel like I'm mocking people's gender identity. This is really dated crap.
Butchie!
I'm sorry. I'm uncomfortable, figuratively and literally.
But it's the 70s. This is fine.
Don't give me that different times jive.
Okay, you said jive. That's a good start. Okay, you said jive. That's a good start. Don, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I thought it would be a good place to insert my impression. Look, I'm taking off this wig. It smells like sneeze.
Butchie!
What's going on, you guys?
Butchie isn't into playing a woman.
Also, Taming of the Shrew? Really? Are you guys for real?
Butchie, it's the 70s.
The 1870s? Let's get out of here. Also, the weed smoke is giving me a headache.
Okay. Hey, friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
Butchie, dang. I'm so over nostalgia. I thought we'd be using the time machine to murder despots or something. But we're always going to game shows and old cartoons. You guys are squandering the technology.
Okay, what would you have us do?
Let's go to the 1190s in France and kill Arnaud Amalric.
Well, we can't kill anybody.
Who's he, Butchie?
He slaughtered every man, woman, and child in Béziers in 1209. He's the origin of the phrase, kill them all and let God sort them out.
Sounds like a piece of poop.
Agreed. But we can't do stuff like that. It's not how time works. We can't mess with lifespans.
Then what's the point of the machine?
Well, to learn.
Oh, great. Well, I learned not to slaughter innocents, but it ain't doing much good.
I'm with Hardy on this one. Let's just worry about the future. The future's not fixed in time, right, Hardy? Right, Hardy?
Well...
Hardy!
Aw, man, see? Why bother?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, Butchie. I'll tell you what, let's just compromise and go back to the beginning of the show.
Oh, that's weak.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wyatt. I'm Hardy Wyatt. Join me now, won't you, as we escape. We escape. It's a great escape. I've dug this tunnel, and it's taken me years, and I've braced the side so I don't think it's going to cave in on us. And we can hide in here, and we can have a little respite from the rest of the world. I can't even tell if it's raining outside. Is that thunder, or is that your belly rumbling?
Hey, pass the butter.
It's not butter, but here.
What is it, margarine?
No, it's something I scraped off the time machine. I think it's what's left of people who tried to hop on at the last minute.
Man!
No, I'm kidding. It's Olio.
Olio? The crossword puzzle answer?
Yeah.
So how's that new church you joined?
Oh, I got kicked out.
Why?
My personal beliefs differed slightly from the established doctrine.
How so?
I don't think you guys have primitive animal souls.
Dang, well, thanks for standing up for us.
In fact, I'm not sure Hardy even has a soul.
Very funny, Butchie.
Well, I've never seen it. Prove you have one.
You know you got soul. If you didn't, you wouldn't be in here. James Brown.
Good point.
Hey, you guys, listen to this. A local martial arts studio is offering classes to combat bullying.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it says it's not just physical responses, it's also behavioral.
Man, we should go to this.
I have my own style of dealing with bullies.
Yeah, but sometimes you go a little too far.
Yeah, well, my philosophy is, if they kill one of yours, destroy the entire solar system.
See, that's a little too much.
I say we go to this. Well, here we are.
Wait, I didn't say okay.
There's no time. Good morning. I'm Sifu Sensei. Well, which is it? Sifu or Sensei?
Sensei is my surname. It's French. It's spelled Senset.
Oh, okay. I'm Hardy. This is Butchie and Lou.
Hi.
Hi, fellas.
Hi, Sifu Sensei.
We're here for the bullying classes.
Giving or receiving?
What?
I'm kidding. Well, let's get started and come over here to the mat.
Hey, guys.
This is my assistant, Matt. Join me now on the padded flooring. All right, the first lesson is how to deal with physical danger. If a bully wants to get physical, Hardy, you first. I'm going to show you a great technique to counter an attack. So come at me any way you like, a punch, tackle, or anything.
Okay, I'm not very physical, but I'll try. Oh, wow.
See? A little technique, and you've handled the situation. Lou, now you try. You're a big man, but it'll still work, so come at me, big man.
Oh, wow!
Wow, that's cool.
Okay, Butchie? He's a little fella. You come at me full force with everything you got. Sifu, no. No, you don't want to do that.
No, man. Don't do that.
I'll be gentle.
Okay. There's witnesses. You asked for it.
I think I can handle anything.
Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh! Oh! Oh!
Butchie? Spit that ear out.
You heard him. He said, come at me.
Here, give me that ear. Somebody can reattach it. Oh, we're so sorry.
Man, you're like a rabid macaque.
Yep.
Hey, I'm Matt. I'll show you guys the rest of the non-physical anti-bullying techniques while Sensei takes care of that. So, I'll bully you, and let's see what techniques you already have.
All right.
So, I'll start with you, Lou. Hey, fatty.
Yes, sir.
Nice gut you got on there, fatso. You expecting?
I'm expecting to eat after this, on account of I'm so fat and need lots of food.
I need lots of food.
Yeah, me too, because of how fat I am.
You're not too smart either, are you?
No, not really. But smart isn't everything. I think I make up for it with heart.
And what are you looking at, old man? Oh, I was just watching you bully Lou. Hey, pick up my jock. Which one? There's a couple ones. That one. I bet you love it, don't you? Why don't you smell it? Smell the jockstrap? All right. Yeah, it smells funny. What's so funny with you?
I'm bored.
Are you, little puppet man? Man, are you a child or a full-grown man?
I'm a full-grown bored man with pieces of your boss's ear in my teeth.
Oh, you think you're tough and dangerous, don't you?
No, I don't. I think I'm compassionate and patient, but apparently I'm a short-tempered sadist.
The fat one has breasts like a woman.
Yeah, it looks like I'm transitioning, but it's mainly because I'm overweight.
So I'm going to call you Boobies.
Boobies? My granny used to call me Booby. That's similar.
Yeah, Mr. Boobs. Mr. Boobs. Man, that'd be a great name for a lingerie store.
I'm writing this stuff down. This guy is a font of ideas.
You all make me sick. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I got just the thing for it. I got some seaweed tea. Did I leave it in the car? Is it in the car?
Yeah, I think you left it in your gym bag.
Oh, look, guys, you're not really doing your parts right. I need you to be hurt or angry.
Why?
Well, the bully is trying to hurt you psychologically to make you feel bad about yourself.
Why would I feel bad about myself?
I'm pointing out your flaws. Yeah, so we have each other for that, so I don't even think we realized you had started.
Yeah, let's do that physical part again.
No, you know what? I don't think this is working. We're sorry. You know, we time travel a lot, so we're used to a certain amount of abuse. And also, our bar for sadness is a little high, since we witness mass slaughters of humans on a semi-regular basis.
Let me bite this guy's lips off.
You know what, Butchie? Let's just go.
Well, yeah, I think we learned something here, didn't we, guys?
Oh, yay. Thank you. It's very helpful.
I'm sorry. It usually works. Yeah, don't feel bad. Nothing really works on us.
Yeah, it's tough because we're kind of absurd and we don't really feel bad. Ever.
Oh, but that's not true. I feel bad all the time, friends. That's why I understand that you feel bad too. And it's why I have established this radio neutral zone where we could come and be together and have some joy. Oh, the best revenge is served just room temperature, like a fine cheese, and that way you can smell the aroma of it. Joy, joy, joy is the best revenge, isn't it? Being happy? Oh, yes, bullies, the universe, etc. Anything that sees you're happy thinks, why is he happy? I'm trying to make him miserable. Oh, because I tell you why. Because life is hard and miserable sometimes, and so I find that I like to put some joy in the cracks, like it's spackling. I see any kind of cracks, and I fill them up with my homemade wood glue. My grandfather used to make his own wood glue out of, what he would do is he would go in his workshop, and he would saw some wood, and then the sawdust would get up his nose, he'd blow his nose, and there you got your own homemade wood glue. And you don't have to buy any like that. The other day, I let my dog out into the yard, and she started chasing a chipmunk. And I thought, oh, that poor chipmunk, it must live a life of absolute terror. And I saw it run down in its little hole, and I thought, I wonder what it's doing in there. So I shrunk myself down very small, which is something I learned to do in the Cub Scouts. What am I saying? Weeblos.
and I went in there, and they were having a little chipmunk wedding. Not only were they not afraid, but they were having a joyous occasion. And I must say, it was just like one of our weddings, even down to the fact that the bride's dance, I think, was over-choreographed. I think they're just a little too clever by half, and I don't know whether they were trying to do a video of it. And look, and there's the father of the groom, and he's being sick, and his wife is holding his head as he throws up into a little thimble. That's because the chipmunks know that you gotta have joy where you can find it. Oh, my goodness, and that's why I'm trying to offer you a little now. You say, oh, I was having a bad day, Hardy. I went to work, and my boss said, do all this paperwork, and we're going to behead your family. No, they're probably not that severe, but still, it can be rough, you know, or if somebody yells at you. No one likes to be yelled at, do they? I'm trying to think of an instance where I like to be yelled at. If I said, please, if you yell at me, I'm going to get $1 million, then maybe. But otherwise, oh, it's demoralizing. So what do? You say, I come home, I'm not feeling very joyous. Well, sometimes you can jumpstart that joy. That's what I like to do. And there's a couple things you can do. One is you can put starter cables on your nipples or something. The other thing you can do is make up a song. I'm no good at making up songs, Hardy White. I can't even sing, it doesn't matter. Especially if you're alone. And you know I'm a great believer in just making sounds like that. You know that. You know that. There's all sorts of ways. Do it yourself. You don't have to rely on other people's idea of fun. They don't know what's in your heart. You know, there's nothing that makes people angrier than watching somebody else be joyful or happy when you think they shouldn't be. Look at those fools over there. They don't know any better. I've heard that all the time. Look at them. They think they're happy. They must be foolish. What's your problem? Gosh, it's so threatening, isn't it, to have joy? Must be something supernatural and mystical about it. It must be something that's somehow threatening. Yeah, because people can't make you do things sometimes when you're happy. It's easier when you're afraid to be manipulated. It's easier when you're angry. Oh, people can make you all sorts of things. When you're joyful, like me, a joyful idiot, oh, it's very difficult to make me do things because, first of all, I'm not super paying attention. I'm so sorry. So I was just lost in my own world because yours is kind of miserable. So I've been making my own. Sometimes I live in it. I split my time. I have a little pied de terre in yours, but really in mine I have a mansion. And I spend a good deal of time in that mansion of my mind because I'm going to reside there forever, I imagine, at some point. What do you mean, eternity? Well, I won't know when I die, when I die finally. I won't know that's my last thought. I feel like it'll just probably go on to forever. It's perspective. You'll see me and you'll go, your heart is not looking so good. He's been still for days and I don't know if he's wearing a cologne called baloney that got left out in the sun, but that's the essence I'm getting. Sometimes I wish I had a fragrance. Sometimes I wish I was, people love star, they call them stars, which I think is interesting. Celebrities, they go, dancing with the stars, eating with the stars, celebrate with the stars. They used to say on the telethon, watch the stars come out. As if these people were tiny suns and they were providing light and everything, not just that they were folk. You know, that they're somehow stars, that you're better than you. And what am I? Oh, you're like a rock or something floating around in space. But that's a star. They're putting out light. Everybody can see the star. Yes, but is not a humble asteroid, does it not contain nickel? Or something. I don't know what's in them. I've never found one. I wish I could find one. Some kind of space debris. That would be fun. I wonder if I found something of significance, if something alien landed here and I was like, I found an alien orb. I don't know that I would share it necessarily. I think people would find it eventually. But I have such a nice shelf of tchotchkes here. I think I just put it up there for a while. Ooh, it's glowing and vibrating again. Every time something bad happens in the news, that's weird. Oh, yes, I find joy where I can. Did you ever see elderly people who retire and they go down to South Florida and they buy a metal detector and they go on the beach and they go,
Look, I found a ring. Someone else's worst day of their life is my best day. Oh, my goodness, I'm finding all sorts of things. And they start to find joy in the little places and say, you used to, friend, before you retired, you found such joy in destroying the lives of your corporate enemies. And now all it takes is like finding something shiny on the beach. I know I have shrunk my world. And now things are larger. Now it's a world of giants. I'm a giant. I love it when I shrink my world. I'm like that. Different kind of giants. I notice the giants in Harry Potter are kind of dumb and scary and everything. I don't want to be like them. I'm a different kind of giant. No, I am not Jolly Green. It's trying to sell you something. That's not a real giant like Paul Bunyan or something was. And he was purple or blue, or that was his ox or something. I don't even remember. Bunyan, I get that confused with foot corns. Did he do that? Paul Bunyan, that's why we have corn. Paul Bunyan went throughout the land, and every time he would step on fertile land, the corn would jump off of his foot, and it would grow. And one of those opened up, and it was Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed. And I don't know what he invented, but he is one of those people like the Carnegie's or something. Had something to do with steel, maybe early days of the country. Oh, I'm so behind on my reading. I really need to catch up. I just jump from one subject to another. Sometimes I don't. I go all over the place because my interests shift so radically. You know, one day I'm interested in one thing, and the next day I'm interested in something else. So I go get books. I read them about halfway. I go, that's good enough. I've learned enough. If I learn any more, I might turn into a know-it-all. Like somebody, like your Facebook friends, we ask a rhetorical question, and they give you a very specific answer and tell you what you should do. Oh, I love that. Say, oh, yes, you know what you should do. Say, man, friends, I'm having a hard day. I need some happiness. The happiness that you require is already inside of you. What you need to do, shut up, man. Just post a picture of a clown or something. I didn't ask for a sermon. I know all that. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Oh, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I don't go around thinking I know everything. I don't know everything. It's been proven to me. A lot of people say, oh, you seem to be a lot of self-effacing, or what is the thing where you put your, that means you rub your own face in the mud and everything. Self-deprecating, that's it. That means you poo on yourself. I don't, and is that false modesty? Oh, no, there's a lot of things I think I do well, but my gosh, it would be foolish not to look around at all the brilliant people and say, okay, you know, I know basically we're both humans, but I got to give credit to that person. Man, they're good. I couldn't do that. And so I'm able to appreciate other people because I realize I have my strengths, and it doesn't matter to me whether you have strengths too. Why? Well, I gotta confess, a lot of it's a time machine, and I know that you all die. That's why I have a little pity on you, because I think, and a lot of you don't realize it. So I don't want to tell you. I don't want, like they say, a spoiler, but that's what we call you after you're dead, because nobody found you for a while. Spoiler. And that's going to be your ultimate end, memento mori. Mori. All right, so I have compassion for you, whatever. And if your life is not going so well, I feel like, well, I'm going to give you some of my joy. I may not have much in my life. I may not have much money. I may not have good looks. I may not have, I have hair on my knuckles and on the bottom of my feet. You have hair on the bottom of your feet? Yeah, I got dogs. It's not my hair. What did you think, I was growing the hair? No, I got it all. I got it on my tongue and under my eyelids and everything, too. I got a cat. I got dogs. And then I got, I guess I have even more dogs than that because of the amount of hair is amazing. I thought up for a while I had two cats, but it was just this spot where my other cat was lying. And for, I guess over the years, it created an entire new looking cat. It had no guts. It was just hair. But if I have something extra, I want to give it to you because I think for two reasons. One, makes me feel good. Two, these are all about me, by the way. Two, if you're happy, maybe you won't start the next war, I'm thinking. you know? So I want to spread the joy out there. Why isn't everybody listening to you and happy? Oh my gosh, I'll tell you why. Because I'm the Betamax of philosophies. I was always saying, maybe we ought to be better to each other. Maybe laughing at other people's expenses or all this cruelty come up to bite us and everything. People go, no, 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 it's fine. It's fine. You're too gentle and all. So I accept defeat that my gentleness is the old way, and that's all right, and that I'm naive, and that doesn't really work, and that's okay. But I know that you all come to see me and to hear me because of that, just like you go to a museum. You say, oh, it's so quaint to go to those old places. People lived in this cabin? Oh, yes, this cabin, they lived in it. And wasn't it cold? Yes, it was cold, but it was warmer than the outside, so they didn't know any better.
Did they lay on that bed?
Yes, that's their bed.
Was it soft?
It was soft to them because they didn't have memory foam. They just had straw back there, so they didn't know what they were missing.
Oh, what'd they eat?
Well, they eat root vegetables.
Root?
Both, I think, because you got to have a balanced diet, both root and root vegetables. They ate what they could, and they lived here.
It looks like a hard place to live.
Well, it wasn't easy living in this little cabin, you know, but they got by and everything.
What else did they eat?
Molasses?
Molasses? Where'd they get the sugar?
Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, listen, do what I tell everybody to do. Go back in time. Experience it yourself. But the problem is you'll be comparing modern life to old-timey fashion life. Or old-fashioned, old-timey fashion life.
Yeah, these are the new fashions.
In the 20s, oh, these skirts seem so tight. Yes, that's the old-timey fashion. But I meant old-fashioned times. Now it all sounds wrong. An old-fashioned, that's a drink, isn't it? Old granddad, that's a drink, isn't it? Old anything. Booze is the only product where you could put old in the name. Booze and furniture polish, where you can put old in the name and people go, all right, I'll get it. Otherwise, people want things to be fresh and new. But fresh whiskey, whoo, you don't want it. That's called White Dog. Oh, my goodness, and it'll eat your teeth. I've had it. It's very much better when it mellows and everything. And just like people. Oh, I have mellowed over time. When I was a young person, I was White Dog. I was right out of the still. I was a volatile. I was on fire. My proof was too high. You see, what I needed was to be put into a cask, the inside of which had been charred. The oak staves had been charred, and the white distilled spirit poured into it, and then my spirit would stay in there for a few years, and it would absorb the burned crud on the cask, and bugs and everything like that. And eventually, my white spirit darkened and became rich, and it absorbed this and became caramelized, you see. And you take on more character. You say, that fella has character. Yeah, look at his face. Man, it's full of character. Yeah, I guess he's a smoker or something. Ooh, that's almost too much character, isn't it? It is. A little looks like naugahyde, but it's skin. I know. But it means that it's been lived in. Oh, life, you like comfortable things. People now will pay to have items look like they've been lived in or look like they're old instead of spending time aging them. So I won't get jeans that look like somebody's already messed in them or something. Yeah, all right, well, why don't you just get a fresh pair? No. Then it looks like I haven't been wearing them. Oh, you want to skip ahead. You can't skip any stage of your life. You got to go from the beginning to the end, I'm telling you. So you got to get something when it's new. Buy that guitar new. Then you scuff it up. Buy that chair new. They do that with furniture all the time. I'm going to buy it distressed. And they take a brand new chair, and they whip it with chains and everything, and they distress it. Don't do that on purpose. Don't whip your chair with chains. Life will whip your chair with chains, whether you like it or not. Life will spill wine all on your table, the nice table that your grandfather gave you. It's all smeared with turpentine and all sorts of stuff. Dog died on it. There you go. That makes it better. When you take something to the Antiques Roadshow, people go, oh, what's wrong with this? The dog died on it. And then we didn't realize. And then other things happened. It got rained on. And then we used it for a long time to contain vomit. Why would you keep it? Again, we don't know. As you can see, it's been treated poorly. That's good, though. The sign that it's been lived in. Look at your face in the mirror, you old person. Look at that wonderful face you've earned. Give yourself a smile. Sneak some joy in there. Who wants you to be unhappy? That one over there? Look at me. Uh-oh, I'm smiling. Whoops. Does it bother you? Yeah. Oh, you threw a stone in my head. I'm still smiling. Now, I may not be smiling on the inside, but boy, I like to get their goat. You know, sometimes I'm just happy just to be aggressive. I just say, oh, you got a lot of joy in you, Hardy. Yeah, because those who would wish me ill, those who want me to be full of fear, oh, Satan, I'm talking to you.
What?
I'm talking to you, Satan.
I'm sorry, I was not paying attention.
Well, look over here, because this concerns you.
All right.
I don't want you to win. I'm sorry. I know that you want me to be fearful and miserable so that we'll stir something up. It's entertaining. That's our entertainment for a long time based on conflict. We like to see people screaming at each other. The first time I ever watched a TV show that the entertainment was about people screaming at each other, my thought was, this is the end of civilization. And I was right, because it's happened. I've seen it happen before. I've seen it happen when people get so bored and jaded that they must see, they must create violence because they don't, I guess they just don't have enough naturally occurring. When they must create hatred and resentment and misunderstandings just for entertainment purposes, then you know something is terribly wrong. It's too late. Oh, and it's all downhill from there. It's all downhill from there. When we don't like to see joy. I like to see people lifted up, but that's not as popular. I like to disguise the joy on the show. As you can see, how many listeners do you have? Just you. Just you and the other person that you told about the show about. And that's it. And that is by design. Because we get too many people in here and they might want to spoil things. You know how they do that. They come in there, there's too much joy going on in here. I'm going to throw some kind of wrench into the situation and see what happens. No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I'm sorry. We're doing our best here. We're struggling and lifting one another up. And if you need lifting up, I will help you. First of all, let's do it. I like to do things creatively. So I probably will tie balloons onto you. And you say, okay, you've tied dozens of balloons onto me. Nothing's happening. And then I'm thinking, oh, crap, helium. It's helium balloons. I just put regular balloons on you. You look great, though. You look like one of those archways that people spend hours and hours building for their grandparents' wedding anniversary. Look at all that balloon archway we made. But, yes, I'm sorry. I should have gotten helium. Then you'd be floating. But this way, at least when you fall down, you might bounce back up like a weeble. What do they do? Well, I'm not sure. They something, but then they something else. I might just do the whole show like that, like the Mad Libs, just fill it in. I do that when I rap. I go, I'm something. I'm like somebody. You're not something. You're like somebody else. It's supposed to rhyme, though, but I don't know. And you put pop culture figures in there. Noun, adjective. I like that. I secretly listen to all sorts of music, you know. I don't tell people I'm listening to it because they'll go, well, you're listening to that crap? It's like music can be like
religion now. You listen to the wrong music, people start judging you.
Do you think you shouldn't judge people? Oh, I judge all the time. You have to judge. You got to figure out what's right and wrong, right?
You can't just say, well, just let that slide.
No, what you don't want to do is condemn, you know, but you do sort of want to judge and say, no, that is wrong. If you were this world, this planet we're on, is like a small boat. It's like a lifeboat. And if there's somebody jumping on one end of the lifeboat, you know, you don't really have the option to just live and let live there. You have to do a little bit of rebuking. Now, there's a right and wrong way to do it. I would say, brother, sister, I see you're over there jumping.
Yeah, I'm jumping.
You're jumping on the lifeboat.
Yeah, I'm jumping. What of it?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think, you know, there's a chance you're going to tip the lifeboat open.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I meant over, but yes.
Oh, well, try to stop me.
Well, no, I'm going to, because I'm convinced that you are going to tip it over. So, you know, I think if you take the rebuke, and we'll be fine. You know, I'm not excited about telling you, but I think, you know, for everybody's good, you have to point out when somebody's jumping up and down in the lifeboat. Oh, by the same token, you must understand this lifeboat is small. Do not make conflicts when they're not there. If somebody's on that lifeboat and they're saying, man, that kimchi you're eating, I don't like the odor. Too bad. That's really not, doesn't affect the lifeboat's buoyancy one way or another. As an aside, if you get a chance, if any of your local grocery or anything makes a cucumber kimchi, like our local Korean market does, oh, you've got to try it. I'm addicted. I like the regular kimchi, but the cucumber one, I'm in heaven. I've never had, I mean, I have joy in my life, but right now, just I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking, maybe should I go eat some now? And I think it's good for your gut too, somehow. I tell myself that. It's all like natto, which a lot of people don't like. I've discussed before. Why do you eat all these foreign foods? I don't like the word foreign because they're not foreign foods to the people who eat them, you know? That's like a hamburger is a foreign food. From one perspective, they're just foods. They're foods that humans eat. And they come from all over the places, and they're perfectly good. And sometimes I like to get good ideas from everywhere. I don't mind who you are or steal your idea. If you've got a good idea, I will take it. Not jokes so much. I try to come up with those on my own. But if you've got a good idea for, like, breakfast, sometimes I found out that you could have fried fish, fried banana, and rice for breakfast. Yes! Because Edward Bernays is the one that came up with bacon and eggs. Who's that? I don't mean to get on this bandwagon, but I was actually on it 20 years ago. So that's how I can bring it up again. But he was really the father of PR, one of them, but the main one. He was Caruso's press agent. And he was Sigmund Freud's nephew. Uh-oh, the Freud's actually pretty good people, except for the Bernayses. That's his wife's family. So he, a very cynical man. He lived to be 250 or something, too. But he was, you know, got this idea that you just, all you do is you tell the press something and you give them some authority, doctors say, and they print it and you pretend like that's real. And you're really working for somebody who's selling something. So when he was working for the people who sold bacon and eggs, he convinced people that bacon and eggs is a traditional healthy breakfast. And now we all believe it. Yep, that's a traditional country healthy breakfast. Well, you know, it really isn't what our ancestors ate. This is made up. He is the one that convinced us that women have a right to smoke. And he'd pay people to walk around with signs that say, women want the right to smoke. What? Because who's he working for? That's right. Oh, everybody gets played. Oh, you're getting played all the time. Oh, you fight. There are people fighting for the right to destroy their lives.
passionately. I must achieve this because I must absolutely destroy my life and the world. That's because, bless your heart, you're getting played. And I really, 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 really don't resent you. I don't. I'll go down with you. That's fine. That's fine. We're going to destroy, blow it all up. Blow it all up. I know, I warned you a couple times, but I can't live your life for you. But I'm not going to run from you because there's no place to run. So I'm going to put my arms around you and call you a thing idiot. But I'll kiss your forehead and I'll keep you company. And I'll hold your hand and we can still have joy. Ooh, oh, oh, we're doomed. They were playing music on the Titanic as it went down. Because why not? Why not? Calm everybody down a little bit. You know, 1 minute, what's the difference between a minute and a year? You know, lifespans are all different lengths. When you're born, you might live an hour. You might live a year. You might live 10 years. You might live 80 years. Which one is tragic? They all tragic. None of them tragic. But I'll tell you, you can get joy in there. You can live 80 years with no joy, nothing happen. You can live 10 years with an immense amount of joy and things all shoved in there. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So it doesn't matter how long you have. It's what you put in there. Because we're all, it's all ultimately, you don't win. So it's all in the moments. Do what you can. Don't waste those moments when you don't remember. That's what I would say. I would say, let others take care of your misery. And you take care of your joy. You relentless to try to be happy, and you just wait. Other things are going to crush it, and you won't be all the time, and don't feel guilty when you're not. Oh, you must be sad. You must grieve when people you love die. Let your heart break open. Why should I let my heart break? Let it rip in shreds. Why? Let it shatter into a million pieces. Why? Because I'll help you pick them up. I'm standing right here. We'll get it back together. Don't worry about it. You know, let yourself fall apart when you have to. And know that there's going to be people help you put it back together because there's lots of helpers. And there's lots of people that have got love in their heart and they'd step right up and help you with that joy. I want to do that longer, but I'm afraid I don't want to make people angry. But I do want to free you. I do want to free you. I'd love if you just one day open your eyes and said, you know, maybe I've been a little harsh. You know, maybe I'm going around rebuking when I don't have to. Maybe I'm going around complaining about the smell of kimchi on this light boat when I should just be waiting for somebody to jump up and down. And then I will have an opportunity to let my ire out. But for now, you know, maybe I should be looking for things in people that are like me, that give me happiness and all, instead of looking for conflict all the time. Maybe when I am sad and fearful, I'm more open to be exploited. Boy, I tell you, at the fair, go to the fair. Fair was started by psychologists, county fairs, and they will, there's no better psychological manipulation than what a bally is. A bally is a spiel done by somebody trying to trick you out of your money so that you will pay money to keep trying to throw a penny into a dish at an impossible angle. You don't know it's impossible because you're at the wrong angle. You can't see that it's not something that can be easily done. But you still have hope and you do it. And they will do that. And you get frustrated and you get angry and everything, and they love it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Look at this. Eventually, you might win this thing that's a dollar. But your pride. Oh, I saw your pride, and I saw dollar signs. Dollar signs. Yeah. Man, so I would just like you to be able to come into this little chipmunk hole, which is what it is. Isn't it? And have a little chipmunk wedding with me when you can. Don't you want to? Oh, my friends.
Clap your hands, be joyful, and but you're really that afraid of being appearing to be a fool? Don't you read any mythology anymore or something? Is it Bible stories? You thought you knew them all or something? I don't understand. Oh, my goodness. I'll retell them to you if I have to. I'll retell you all those fairy tales from when you're a child in case you missed the lessons. It's not like people knew these things back then. But why do you think there's so many open, joyful hearts now? Must have worked a little bit. Must have worked a little bit. Oh, when we are shown love. Then.
You've been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope at 91.9 in Rockland County, New York, and worldwide on the internet, WFMU.org. Please stay tuned for Sinner's Crossroads with Kevin Nutt, up next on WFMU.
You got to find him. Robert Tormorshausen and the spiritual travelers in that land. In that land, that's what they were singing about. Robert Tormorshausen and the spiritual travelers. Right here on Sinner's Crossroads. On WFMU. And preceding that was the Indiana Wonders, the Wonders of Indiana. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, on the Sensational Sounds record label. Thank you, Mighty Gospel friends. Thank you, Sinner's Crossroads listeners. Folks just turning in. Folks just tuning in. Not sure what's going on. This is the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast here on listener-supported Freeform WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Yes, sir. The Indiana Wonders and the Spiritual Travelers getting us underway this evening on our gospel extravaganza, our mild-mannered, self-effacing gospel show. Right Chin, March 2nd. Yes, last show before the marathon. Stay tuned. Middle of the show there, some more information on that. We'll school you and drop some knowledge, as they say. But right now it's time for the great Edna Gelman Cook to start our next set, gospel music, right here on listener-supported Freeform WFMU, Sinner's Crossroads.
Setting sun, remember me Some good I've done.